Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Flat Springs Baptist. We're so excited to see each of you here this morning. If you are a first-time visitor here with us today, we would ask that you look in the pew in front of you, and there should be a little visitor's card. If you'll fill that out and just tell us a little bit about yourself, that would be great. Several different announcements I need to share with you all this morning. Hopefully I don't forget any. Tonight, we hope you will join us for FSYC's presentation of Wonderful Joy in here in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock. We have found the book for suppers on Wednesday nights. It was missing for a little while, just in case you didn't know. And so if you were looking for the book, it has been found. It is out in the atrium. So if you would like to sign up for dinner this Wednesday night, we are having hot dogs. There's a correction from the newsletter that is currently in the bulletin now for our student of the month this month, Rachel Pickard. The correct address is now in the bulletin. So don't use the address from the newsletter, but use the address that's in the bulletin. The Ann Graves Pearl Johnson group will be, their meeting has been moved from this week to December the 21st. And there will be more information coming about that, but just make note that that meeting has been moved to December 21st. All right, let's see. A few more. Ladies going to Caswell to the Ladies Conference at the end of February need to get checks to Stephanie Bridges by Wednesday, December 6th. It's $165 written to Tramway Baptist Church, our housing partner. Okay? Then also remember today that the Angel Tree gifts are due back at church. Remember to put your new unwrapped gifts in the large bag and tag them. If you would like to deliver your gift yourself, deliver to First Presbyterian Church, 203 Hawkins Avenue, this Tuesday or Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. If you deliver your own gift, please let Kim Harris know so we can keep up with the angels. Also, we had an angel, Luna, which is a girl, 9 years old, that was taken but was not signed out. If you have this angel, please let Kim know so we can make sure our angels are all taken care of. Thank you for your participation and your generosity. Then just to update you on some prayer concerns, the Eleanor Kelly family, Ms. Kelly passed away this past Friday morning. Visitation will be tomorrow in the fellowship hall from 4 to 5. The service will be in here at 5 o'clock, and then there will be a reception following. We also just want to make note, Jarrett Leslie, he broke his finger playing football, and he broke it on the growth plate. So just keep him in your prayers, if you would, as he goes to the orthopedic doctor and all that and sees what he has to get done. And now Johnny has an announcement.
The Finance Committee asks each family to pick up one copy of the proposed 2018 budget. If you have any questions, contact a member of the Finance Committee this week and have your questions answered. And be prepared next Sunday to vote at our regular business meeting. Allow me to go over a couple of changes that we have made. Each employee with 1 year or more of service, a 1% pay package increase. Kathy, our secretary, to receive 5 more hours per week for a total of 30 hours per week. A new line item for fuel expense, each church group that uses the church bus will not be required to refuel it. It'll come out of the line item. 5 line items were budgeted at $1 each. This will give our members the opportunity to designate funds to these projects and use the donations as a tax deduction. New line item for family ministry, a new program our associate pastor of family ministry is organizing. Thank you.
Thank you.
pray with me? Heavenly Father, we have finally begun an anticipated season, the season of Advent. As we begin to reflect on this holy time, let us do so with grateful hearts. Help us to be intentional with our time, and help us to truly focus on the reason for this season. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's do our carol, Angels from the Realms of Glory, hymn number 94. Please stand as we sing. Oh, I'm sorry. It's supposed to be them first.
On the first Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of peace. With war raging in many parts of the world, the threat of terror attacks all over the world, tensions over nuclear missiles in North Korea, anger and division within our own country, dare we speak of peace? Our Jewish friends still greet one another with the Hebrew word shalom, which means peace. Can they teach us a lesson on this first Sunday of Advent? One definition of peace is the absence of fear. We speak of a fearful event as disturbing our peace. In the greatest announcement the world has ever received, the angel begins the message with, "Don't be afraid." The angel host concludes with, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Peace that passes understanding. Peace we all want. Peace we all need. The peace of God. In Jesus' last discourse before his crucifixion and ultimate resurrection, he said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." How shall we sum up the emphasis of the first Sunday of Advent? Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Today, we light the first candle of Advent, the candle of peace.
Now, you should already be turned to 94. Hymn number 94. Let's stand as we sing.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who say creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship.
Our dear and most gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks for all your many, many blessings. We give thanks for the blessings of comfort, dear Lord, that you give to us during our time of need. We pray that we may share thy word with someone that's in need of that true comfort that only comes through you, dear Lord. We ask that you accept and bless these tithes and offerings to be used for thy will and service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To 106, we will do first verse only of these four carols.
Right.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I like all of your Christmas outfits. So pretty. Y'all are in the spirit, right? Getting ready. Well, in the spirit of getting ready, I wanted to share the story with you that we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks as we prepare for the birth of Jesus, okay? So I brought some friends with me this morning. This is Mary. This is Joseph. This is baby Jesus right here. And this is the donkey that Mary rode on, okay? I also brought something special with me this morning. This is my children's Bible that I have. And actually, it's one of my favorites because it has really good pictures in it, and I love pictures. And so I wanted to share it with you guys this morning and just read a little bit of the story to you. Is that okay if we do that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's listen carefully. It says, everything was ready. The moment God had been waiting for was here at last. God was coming to help his people just as he promised in the beginning. But how would he come? What would he look like? What would he do? Mountains would have bowed down, seas would have roared, trees would have clapped their hands, but the earth held its breath, as silent as snow falling. He came in, and when no one was looking in the darkness, he came. There was a young girl who was engaged to a man named Joseph. Joseph was the great-great-great-great-great-grandson of King David. One morning, this girl was minding her own business when suddenly a great warrior of light appeared right there in her bedroom. He was Gabriel, and he was an angel, a special messenger from heaven. When she saw the tall, shining man standing there, Mary was frightened. "You don't need to be scared," Gabriel said. "God is very happy with you." Mary looked around to see if perhaps he was talking to someone else. "Mary," Gabriel said, and he laughed with such gladness that Mary's eyes filled with sudden tears. "Mary, you're going to have a baby, a little boy. You will call him Jesus. He is God's own son. He's the one. He's the rescuer. The God who flung planets into space and kept them whirling around and around. The God who made the universe with just a word and the one who could do anything at all was making himself small and coming down as a baby." Wait, God was sending a baby to rescue the world? "But it's too wonderful," Mary said, and felt her heart beating hard. "How can it be true? Is anything too wonderful for God?" Gabriel said. So Mary trusted God more than what her eyes could see, and she believed. "I am God's servant," she said. "Whatever God says, I will do." Sure enough, it was just as the angel had said. 9 months later, Mary was almost ready to have her baby. Now, Mary and Joseph had taken a trip to Bethlehem, the town King David was from. But when they reached the little town, they found every room was full, every bed was taken. "Go away," the innkeepers told them. "There isn't any place for you." Where would they stay? Soon Mary's baby would come. They couldn't find anywhere except an old stable, so they stayed where the cows and the donkeys and the horses stayed. And there in the stable, amongst the chickens and the donkeys and the cows, in the quiet of the night, God gave the world his wonderful gift. The baby that would change the world was born, his baby son. Mary and Joseph wrapped him up to keep him warm. They made a soft bed of straw and used the animal's feeding trough as his cradle. And they gazed in wonder at God's great gift, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Mary and Joseph named him Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God has come to live with us, because of course he had. So boys and girls, this week we saw Mary and Joseph, and they went to the little town of Bethlehem, and Mary gave birth to Jesus. Next week we're going to talk about some special visitors that came to see them. But I want you to think about, as you get ready to go about your week, the story that we just read and what this season truly means. It's about the birth of this little baby who changed the world, Jesus. We're going to remember that, okay? Let's say a prayer. God, I thank you so much for these kids and for this story that we just heard. God, we thank you for you sending your son to save us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. A child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and peace will have unlimited growth. He will establish David's throne and kingdom. He will uphold it with justice and righteousness now and forever. The Lord is determined to do this. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Lord, FSYC just reminded us of Holy, a season that sometimes can be trampled down upon by hectic schedules and expectations that cause more stress than bring joy. And if we're not careful, Satan, in his wily ways, will rob us of the holy. And so, God, we pray you give us strength to keep our focus where it needs to be brave like shepherds, stepping out from fear to faith to follow and find Christ. And Lord, even give us a spirit that says nothing else matters except we find Christ this Christmas. We have mentioned needs. We pray for the Kelly family and ask your blessing to be upon them and the loss of Eleanor. We pray, Lord, you would be with those that are facing procedures this week. We lift up Vivian and ask God that you would bless her in a very special way. We lift up Mike Burns as he is recuperating from surgery on his back. We give praise that Tom got a good report from his heart catheterization. We continue to pray for families that have lost loved ones. And God, here we are. Why in the world would we speak all of these names and mention these concerns into space, save we believe you hear us, you, our holy God. And if you hear us, then God, you will hear our prayer and bring us peace in the midst of a time of fear. And we pray for peace. In Christ's name.
Thank you.
Let me invite you to take your hymn book and open it to page 121 and mark it there. That will be our hymn of decision at the conclusion of our service today. Thou didst lead thy throne. And then let me invite you to open your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. We're going to read verses 8 through 14. Last Sunday, we talked about giving in the face of hate. And today, we're going to talk about giving when we're horrified. You ever been horrified? You ever been really scared? I think sometimes we read the story, but we minimize the fear. Fear can be a great teacher, but it can also be a challenge. And so my question for us today is, as we read this text, as we look at the shepherds, as we hear the instruction from angels, as we begin to think on this first Sunday of Advent about Christ coming, about how Christ will come to us, even this morning. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. I begin to read in verse 8 of chapter 2, the Gospel of Luke. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. When's the last time God's glory shone around you? And they were filled with great fear. And therein is the key of our text. Verse 10, and the angel said to them, "Fear not." That's easy to say. You ever told somebody not to be afraid? "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Wow. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Lord, for a moment or two, would you cause us not to be distracted during our worship? Distracted by maybe just our spirit being restless. Distracted by maybe unrepented sin in our life that makes this a difficult moment to sit through. Maybe distracted just because our focus is more on the things of this world than they are the things of you. But we pray, O God, that you would help us to be focused, that we might hear what you have to say, that you might intervene in this worship even as you did that peaceful, silent night we sometimes sing about, when the shepherd's routine was interrupted and your messengers shared the greatest message the world has ever received. Help us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Well, when's the last time you were ever afraid? The last time you were really scared? For me, it was about an hour ago. How many of you know OneDrive? Let me say it another way. Saving documents in the cloud. Who came up with that idea? Because something happened between my house and the church to the cloud. I don't know if it was sunshine, rain, but when I got here, I had saved in OneDrive, the cloud, my sermon notes. And I get here on Sunday mornings and I go to my computer here and I open up OneDrive and there was my sermon and I popped it up and all the additions I have made on it since Wednesday of this week were not there. And I got scared, okay? I rebooted. Windows wanted to do an update. Do you know how long it takes Windows to do an update? Oh, missing deadlines can make you scared, can't they? Having deadlines and you not being prepared even though you thought you were. Here, on our table, we put the nativity every year, and I love the nativity. We collect nativities at my house. We have many of them from different countries, from different places, in different styles. You know we get it wrong, don't you? You know this is wrong, right? You know that the wise men aren't here, right? You know that, right? You know that. We just do it wrong anyway, don't we? You know, we kind of told you why we know that it's not right last Sunday in the text. Remember, they're in a stable, but where did the wise men go to see Jesus? Scriptures say in a house. Did you ever see that? Boy, aren't you glad you came today. And you know that the horrible event that Herod did, he put children down from 2 years back. Because he knew about the time frame, but not the exact day. We're going to be looking at these characters of Christmas. And today, we're going to talk about the shepherds. We'll get to the wise men later. But here we are, the shepherds, minus the little drummer boy, I might add, that's not biblical either, have come. But it's that story we just read that makes it so important. The part I want us to see is that don't be afraid part. Mary is told not to be afraid when she gets the word that this virgin who's never known a man is about to conceive. Joseph is told not to be afraid to take Mary to be his wife, even though being pregnant outside of wedlock in this day and time was a stoning offense. And then the shepherds. These guys got up and made their way. Whenever I remember as a kid thinking of the shepherds, I always remembered the story of the sheepdog and the coyote as a cartoon. Do you remember that cartoon? And they would meet at the punch clock and punch in, and then they'd go about, the dog would watch the sheep, and the coyote would try to get them, and he never got them. And a lot of times they'd leave it just hanging, and the whistle would blow and work was over, and they'd take it up right there when they got back the next day. But I think what it must have been like for these guys when they went to work that day, when they made their way, probably they had been on the job for days on end, because the shepherds would often stay for weeks at a time with the sheep in the fields, moving them from grazing spot to grazing spot in difficult terrain. But on this night, it would all be different. Now, I want to suggest to you that if you've ever had a moment where you felt God's holy presence, it's terrifying. I have very few of those moments in my own life, but I can tell you one that I experienced when I was 14 years of age. I had the unique opportunity and challenge to feel God leading me to become a pastor at a very young age. I was probably 13 years old when I really first began to think of it, and I went to my dad, who was a pastor, and he said, like many dads, "Well, son, that's probably just kind of a fad. It'll be all right. You just keep praying about it, and God will show you." Truck driver was my second option, by the way. Some folks think I look more like a truck driver than I do a preacher, but we won't even go there. But I remember the feeling just grew more intense. And when I'd go to our youth group, and it seemed like all the devotions that we would do, they kind of pointed back to God calling me and what you do, how you respond obediently to God. And God's up to something in your life. And for me, it just kept being framed more and more. And then they did that dastardly deed that we do to preacher's sons sometimes. You know, the RAs would get ready to have RA Sunday. Who's going to preach? Let the preacher's kid do it. Let Gary do it. Youth Sunday would come. Who's going to preach? Let Gary do it. On and on, those opportunities would show themselves. And, oh, I've still got, and I've told you this, I've still got the first sermon I ever preached on a cassette recording. My voice hadn't changed. I know some of you are more interested in my voice not changing than that sermon I preached on Lazarus and the rich man, Luke chapter 16. I remember I had to learn how to say the word that the rich man fared sumptuously. That was a big word to figure out when you're 14, sumptuously. But that was in my text, and I had to learn how to read it. Terrible sermon, by the way, terrible sermon. You will never hear it, but I've still got it. But coming to that call, and I remember my theophany, a big word, theophany. That's a word where you see God, where you experience God in a life-changing way. I remember my theophany. My theophany took place at Lewiston First Baptist Church. We never locked the church back then. Many of you can relate to that. Many of you have told me we never locked this building. But on that occasion, after having talked with youth ministers, after having talked with my dad, after having talked with my RA director, after having talked with a Sunday school teacher, after having talked with the director of missions for our association, I still kept saying, this is not passing. And I remember walking in one evening, I don't know what time, it was dark, and we had a little button right about there. Every now and then a guest minister would hit it accidentally and the light would either come on or go off, whichever it was, and it would get his attention. But I hit that light when I knew where that light was. And I cut that light. It was the only light on in the sanctuary, and it was dark. And I remember talking to God. I was there by myself, and so I just spoke out loud. And I said, God, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with what you're saying. You ever struggle with what God's saying to you? Oh, we need to struggle sometimes, you and I. We need to struggle. And I said, God, I just don't really know if this is the right thing for me. Daddy says I might be just trying to follow in his footprints. Other folks say I'm kind of young, and maybe this isn't what God wants me, what you want me to do, Lord. And I am just struggling here. So here's the deal, God. Now, I told you I was 14. You remember that. Please remember that. And I want to tell you, I have never, ever said, ever in my life since that moment,
here's the deal, God. I've never been down that road again. But here's what I said. I said, God, if I'm going to do this, I don't like school, and I got to go to college and to seminary for a long, long time. If I'm going to do this, if I'm going to follow you and be what I think you're calling me to be, here's the deal. I want to see you. I want to see something. Angel will be all right. Burning light, you can make the lights come on. I don't care. I just want to know. You ever want to know? Just want to know? I mean, you want to know. This was a big deal. And so I kept explaining to God. Don't you like, how many of you ever explained stuff to God? 14. I was 14, okay? Remember that. I gave him all the reasons why I thought this was significant. Why I had read things about folks seeing things in the Bible and John Brown, I wanted to see something. I wanted to have an experience. I wanted to have something I could hang my hat on. I want to say, you know, they might have had a burning bush, but let me tell you what happened in the sanctuary at First Baptist Church in Lewiston about 1973. And after I'd explained it all to God, and I thought I had him on board, and I thought I'd pleaded my case in a way that he could understand it and probably was saying, my, you do have skills. By the way, you just explained that to me, Gary. I remember reaching out. We had a pulpit very similar to our full pulpit. I remember grabbing both sides, spreading my feet out a little bit, kind of bracing for this theophany that was fixing to come. And I said, okay, God, I'm ready. And in about 2 seconds, a feeling that I've never had before or since fell all over me. And for the first time in my life, I realized I was speaking to a holy God. And I remember screaming out, no, 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 God, it's okay. It's okay. I don't need anything, God. You're enough. Your call's enough. That's all I need. And I remember going home and say, Daddy, I'm going to be a minister. That's what God's called me to do. You ever had a moment like that? A moment when God's presence just suddenly, I love in verse 13 it says, and suddenly there was with the angel. I found that holy often rushes in suddenly. Let me give us just a couple of things quickly this morning about God's power and his presence. First, fear can turn into sacred, but it comes unexpectedly. We like to be scared. How many of you remember Fear Factor? I remember that show. I'm not surprised it didn't last too long. Terrible, terrible program. Folks eating gross stuff. You remember that program? We like to be scared. We'll pay money to be scared, won't we? Oh, we love haunted houses. The haunteder, the better. Movies and amusement parks and pranks on YouTube. They all capitalize on fear. Don't you love to know somebody's about to get scared? That you're sitting there waiting and you're about to jump out of the trash can or when they pull the lid off and they think it's going to be a turkey, it's going to be your head under the table. You know, we love that stuff when we know about it. But it's not so fun when we're the one being scared, is it? I can remember my first trip to King's Dominion. And I was a rather large boy, and we had gone with our school group, and we just all got in line, and I was sitting by a rather large girl, and we rode the Rebel Yell for the first time. That's a very large wooden roller coaster. And when we came off the first hill, I thought I was going to die, not because of the roller coaster, but because of my riding companion. She screamed and grabbed my neck, and I thought, she is going to break my neck. And I didn't know her that well. She was terrified. I remember when Mom and I went to see Jaws. Now, I'm old enough to see Jaws the first time when it came into the movie. You may remember Jaws. You remember Jaws? You remember there's a scene when they're down there by that sunken ship, and there's a hole in the boat? How many of you remember that scene? And the scuba diver's right down there, and he's about got his nose in that hole. And all of a sudden, I mean, they were good at how they did that. A head pops out that hole. And I thought the lady in the seat in front of me was going to be in my lap. It was frightening the first time. But you know, theme parks are fun until there's an accident. And one of those rides goes wrong. And fear becomes real. It's no longer fun anymore. We all remember that time when that terrible event took place and a shooter found his way to a movie theater at the opening of a premiere film. Or even when a prank goes bad. The shepherds, they were expecting to be afraid possibly of wild animals or thieves. But they weren't ready for the experience they were about to experience. What did you come expecting to encounter this morning? Did you come just expecting to encounter friends and read some scripture and hear a Sunday school lesson, maybe pray and hear a sermon? What would happen if we really met God today? What would happen if we really encountered holy today? If this scene suddenly were to leave this table and become a reality, and we saw in Jesus' eyes his love for us. Oh, the shepherds didn't expect what was going to happen. Maybe you didn't come today expecting God to do something great in your life, but he will. You see how we respond to fear when it's reverent fear makes all the difference. The shepherds teach us how to deal with reverent fear. You know, often when I think of that word fear, it's a negative word. It's I don't like to be afraid. I don't like to be scared. Don't jump out at me. I don't like that. And yet, I can understand how they'd be afraid, can't you? Here's what I began to wonder. Have you ever wondered why God might have chosen those shepherds? I mean, there were flocks of sheep all over everywhere. There were little bands of 50 and 75, and if you were really rich, you might have 200 sheep, and you'd have 3 to 8 shepherds watching those sheep, and you'd be there, and next to you would be another group, and next another group, and another group. Hundreds of groups of shepherds keeping watch over flocks. Why these guys? Well, we can only speculate, but I kind of think, maybe, as I get hints from other passages in Scripture, possibly the real deal was this. The reason why God chose them was because he knew their hearts. He knew their desire. Because, see, there's always a lot of talk in Israel about Messiah coming. They've been looking for Messiah ever since David died. And so now, here's Jesus about to be born. The Messiah is about to come. And God wanted to choose. Maybe he wanted humble guys. I mean, you weren't high up on the pay scale if you were a shepherd. It was considered menial, lowly work. But yet, I think he knew their heart. These are the kind of men that God can choose and turn their fear into faith. He can turn their fear into faith. You remember David when all of Israel was afraid and little young David said, I'll take on Goliath. Using good old North Carolina language, he said, I ain't scared. I ain't scared. I wonder when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you remember that story? The 3 Israelites now in Babylonian captivity and they would not bow their knee to the God. And so he cast him into a fiery furnace. And I love the word they said. He said, King, even if we die in the furnace, we'll not worship you. They faced their fear with faith. I wonder when that walk in the furnace got to be fun. It had to get fun at some point, don't you think? Can you imagine walking in the fire and not getting burnt? I'd say, hey, Shad, look at this. This is cool. Wouldn't you? Look at what's happening here. Are you hot? No, I'm not hot. Wow. Who's that fourth guy? Go back and read the story. Daniel. You remember the story of Daniel? They were out to get him. They set up the prayer, prayed to nobody but the king for 40 days because they knew Daniel would be praying. Daniel, you got to go in the lion's den. I can't imagine what that walk to that gate, to open that gate, to push him into that den must have been like. Daniel turned his fear into faith. And in that moment, at some point, I don't know what you call a wild lion. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. But at some point, it got good. I don't know if lions purr. I bet they do. Can you imagine that big male lion with that big mane coming up purring because his faith had overcome his fear? Oh, this first Sunday of Advent, we must remember the one who faced the greatest fear. The fear of my sin and your sin. When Jesus Christ prayed in the garden 3 times, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. I think we deny the reality of his humanity if we don't think there was fear in Jesus' life, but his fear was overcome by his faith and the faith you and I needed. And so he hung on the cross and ultimately conquered death for us. The question is this morning, are we ready to turn our fear into faith? Are we ready to make that change? Are we ready to do? You know, the Marines talk about all we need is a few good men. I think that's all that God wants. I think God's ready to do something extraordinary. But can I ask us a hard question this morning? Do you think God will take disobedient people to do extraordinary things? Do you think God will take us who aren't really paying close attention to who God is and what he's up to? Those of us who, if we're not paying attention, we're not spending time with him, will we be the movers and the shakers? I think God's still looking for some good folks that he can say, fear not, fear not. Finally this morning, the shepherds showed us how fear moves us to change. The shepherds were challenged to go and see. I wonder if they had any excuses. I mean, reasons why they couldn't go to worship that day. I wonder if they thought, well, we really don't need to leave these sheep. We really don't. You know, the owner, he won't know where we are. We better not go. Oh, history would be so much different had they not been obedient. Listen. History in Deep River will be much different if you and I are obedient to God. Amen. Do we hear God saying, be obedient, fear not. Step out in faith and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to speak to your neighbor. Oh, it may be tough, but at some point, like the fire and like the lion's den, it'll become better. It'll get better. You'll see. God's got this. It's okay. Paul was right when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do we hear the angels say, fear not? Are we ready for that change? I saw a sermon titled years ago about the shepherds. It said, new men back at old jobs. I love that. I love that thought. And the scripture tells us that these men went back praising God and telling everybody what they'd experienced.
Can you go out today and tell God what you've experienced? Can you go out today? Can we go out and share our faith? You see, it changed their evening plans. Do we need to change some plans in our life? It changed their focus. It changed their witness. And it changed their world. You know how I know it changed their world? Because these unknown men, unnamed men, there's one of them. Let's see, there's another one. The rest of them look like kings, so we won't even go there. We got one in there. Good. How many of you got a nativity at home? Anybody got a nativity? I'll get you to raise your hand so I'll know you're awake. Anybody got a nativity at home? Okay, you're awake. Good. You got a shepherd? You got a shepherd? Any shepherds? Any shepherds in your nativities? We still remember them. Their decision that night to be obedient, to overcome their fear and faith. And they're in our homes. They're in the marketplace. They're around the world. Their story is still being told. Will our story be told? I thank God for that RA director. I thank God for that Sunday school teacher. I thank God often for my dad, for those who helped me turn my fear into faith. This morning, what do we need to do? There's a world outside there that's afraid, and they have good reason to be. You and I have the good news. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, for your love, for your goodness. Thank you for taking a 14-year-old boy and not thumping him when he kind of deserved it. But you took his fear and you helped him begin a lifetime of developing faith. And now, Lord, thank you for helping a 61-year-old man who's still trying to develop his faith. Thank you for the journey. Maybe there's someone here today who needs to have a change of focus, but fear is keeping us from doing it. Fear what others will think. Fear what family will think. Fear what work will think or school will think. Fear of what it'll be like to totally surrender all. But you know our need. May we follow you in Christ's name. Our hymn is page 121. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make a decision for Him, the invitation is yours as we stand together. Would you be seated for just 1 second? Juan and Selena, will you come and join me? I don't know how long y'all been coming here. Over a year? In January, so it'll be a year in January.
And they come today, they went through our new members class and we've had much conversation. And they come today believing the Lord is leading them to join our congregation. Selena comes by a promise of letter from New Hope Baptist Church in Kittrell, North Carolina. And Juan comes today, a Christian, but yet never having experienced believer's baptism, and so presenting himself as a candidate for baptism. They're a package deal. Do I hear a motion, and I'd like to hear lots of them, that's a hint, that we receive them into our fellowship?
Amen.
I hear motions. Oh, y'all are getting good at that. Motions and say, if you would join me in welcoming them, would you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I'm going to give you the left hand of Christian fellowship. All right. And we're going to try hard to be, and we're glad you're here. And I know they've got kids to get, but I'm still going to have them join me at the door. Will you come by? And as you extend to them the right hand of Christian fellowship, if you're not like, I hope that wasn't Jarrett's right hand anyway. Do bless them or give them a hug. You do so by promising also to pray for them as we strive to be God's people here together. Those have faced our fear and replaced it with faith. Would you stand with me now? And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in His power and in His abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? Lord, we rejoice today in this family coming to unite with our church family. We are always excited when you bring more into our midst to help us do your bidding. Go with us now into this world that faces fear of all kinds every day. And help us to be strong people of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.